Jesus' name, amen. Couple was getting up and getting ready for church. And as they were getting ready for church, the wife noticed that it was getting closer and closer and closer for time for church to start. And her husband wasn't doing anything. So she finally turned to her husband and said, you know, we need to get ready for church. Why aren't you getting ready? Why aren't you going? He said, I'm not going to church today. She said, well, why aren't you going? She said, do you have any reason? He said, yeah, I have three reasons why I'm not going. So she said, all right, give me the reasons. He said, number one, church isn't warm. Number two, I don't think anybody likes me. And number three, I'm just not going. She said, well, you got to go to church. And he said, well, why do I have to go to church? She said, three reasons. Number one, the church is warm. Number two, there are some people who like you. And number three, you're the pastor. You know, we're living in a day and age, and unfortunately, many pastors are even teaching it by their own life and their own priorities and the things that they're doing. But we're living in a day and age when people don't think the church is important. We're living in a day and age where people are saying, I don't need to go to church. And by church, I don't mean this building. I mean the gathering of God's people. And we're living in a time where people are saying, I can really grow my Christian life. I can become what God wants me to be, and I can go beyond where I am, and I can do that really on my own. I don't need the church. Well, I want you to know, there are few things in life that I've heard that are more silly than that. But the unfortunate thing is, that is where many people are at. And that is where not just this world in general is at, but that is where many born-again Christians are at. You know, on an average Sunday in America, about 40% of people go to church. On an average Sunday in America, of those who claim to be born again, 40% don't go to church. So you can imagine, people who claim to know Jesus Christ, people who claim that Christ has transformed their lives, 40% of them are saying, I don't need to go to church. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're one of those people that say, you know, every time the doors are open, I'm going to be there. Maybe you're one of those people that say, well, I'm going to get just enough to say I got enough. Well, maybe you don't phrase it that way, but, yeah, that's where your heart is at. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what, I am that person. I'm the 40% of those who claim to be born again that I really don't so much need to be in church. Well, wherever you're at in that spectrum, I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of gathering together with God's people. And I want to give you several reasons why we ought to do that. Reason number one, we are commanded. We are commanded. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to notice verse 25. And let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are commanded to gather together with God's people. God commands it. You know what? If God commands it, that should settle it. For the Christian, that should kind of settle the whole issue. Whatever God commands me to do, I just simply say yes. I was watching a show, it's a number of years ago, and I wish I could remember everything that happened, but it was a news show. And it was all about people who were speeding and got caught by the state troopers. And they're pulling all these people over because they caught them speeding, and you just would not believe some of the excuses people were given for speeding. Well, maybe you would. Maybe you have a few of them. You know, they're all getting caught, and they're all giving excuses why they're doing it. And the answer is just absolutely amazing. I'm just sitting watching this, and I'm saying, you know what? I think these people must just sit for a while and think about, what am I going to say if I get caught? And they come up with all kinds of reasons. I can't remember them all, but it was amazing, some of the reasons. And then as I watched, I thought to myself, you know what? They could do a show like this for pastors. And it would be all the reasons people don't obey God and all the excuses they use for doing it. Because I've heard some doozies over the years. This passage is a very simple verse, and it really kind of puts in command what many other verses say about being together with God's people. We're going to look at more in a moment, but just simply says, look, don't give up. Don't stop meeting together with God's people. Don't stop doing what you're already doing. And notice here, in the first century, some people were already doing that. It says that some are in the habit of doing. Some had already been given up on meeting together with God's people, even in Paul's day. I don't know how else to say it, but I can only say it this way. You can't be a good Christian and not go to church. You just can't. There are so many things involved with getting together with God's people that it is an impossibility to be a good Christian and forsake the assembling of God's people. You know, this world has kind of thinks that it has invented support groups, but I want you to know God was the one who invented support groups. And it's right here in this verse. Let us not give up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but notice, but let us encourage one another. One of the reasons we gather together for church is to encourage one another. It is the support group for Christians. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you are dealing with, this is the place when people gather together, Christians gather together to be encouraged and challenged to live for God and to live in this world in a way that pleases God. The word encourage is the same word that is used of Jesus when he said that he would send another. It's that word that refers to the Holy Spirit. Has the idea of encouraging or giving aid or helping. In other words, the church is the place to help us. Now, you may not walk out the doors of this building every time you come and say, you know what, I just feel so good after that. You might walk out sometimes the door of this building and say, I'm never going to talk to that preacher again. He just said some things I just really don't like. But the encouragement is not just a feel-better gospel. It is an encouragement to live for God. It is an encouragement to do what God has commanded us to do. It is encouragement in this world to make sure that all we do brings God glory. We need to be encouraging one another. I want you to know the emphasis here is not on myself or yourself. Notice the emphasis is mutual. The emphasis is not just what I get when I come to church. Sometimes we go places and we think, now what is this place going to do for me? And we become consumers. And we sometimes bring that thinking into the local church and we have a consumerism mentality and we come and we visit a church or go to a church and we say, now what will this church do for me? Now, why do you know that's the wrong way of viewing church? What we ought to be asking is, what can I do for this church? Or what can I do to serve God through this church? Or what part can I have in investing my life in somebody else so that they will be encouraged? Is that way the way you come to church? What can I do in my life that might help somebody else? We're always thinking about the person who had an impact in my life, the person who did something for me, but what are you doing for somebody else to help them to be encouraged, to help them to grow?
We walk in the door sometimes and we say, well, you know, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got the other problem. Now what I want to happen is I want someone to come to me and make me feel better.
We're so stuck on watching our own little life that we forget what God really wants. This mutual encouragement wants us to be looking to see what we could do for someone else. Let us encourage one another. And I want you to notice the end of the verse. It says, all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the need for encouragement is not going to go down. The need for aid and help is not going to go down. It's going to go up. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That day refers to the return of Christ. So as we get closer and closer and closer to the return of Christ, the more and more and more we are going to need aid and help and encouragement. I'm sure you've noticed, but there's a pretty ugly hurricane headed towards America. And those people, depending on what happens, may need help like they did before. Thankfully, they have more things ready to go. I'm sure this past week, if not this past week, this past month, something's gone on in your life to kind of hit you square in the face and kind of, you know, make you feel like you could use a little bit of encouragement. Will you come to church looking for that in your own life, or do you come to church wanting to pour out God's love through yourself into someone else's life? These days are getting evil. And God talks about the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more evil they're going to be. And the more we're going to need as Christians to band together and stick together and help one another. I was told just the other day that the churches need to put a new statement in the church constitution or somewhere in what they're doing. Because lawyers are beginning to tell churches that if Senator Obama becomes president, one of the first things he wants to do is to change all the laws and rules reflecting the issue of homosexuality. So if a church doesn't already have something in their bylaws or somewhere in a statement that they do not marry homosexuals or do not allow their church to be used for homosexuals, one of the first things they want to do to get their thinking past is begin calling churches and say, I want to use your building or I want to be married by your pastor. And if it doesn't happen, pastors and Christians may begin to be thrown in jail. We're living in evil days. All you have to do is turn on your TV. All you have to do is, you know, open the newspaper. We're living in evil days. And I don't know about you. I think I do. I can tell you about me that I need the help of others to live this life. I need the help of other people investing in me to help me to do what God wants me to do. And I have to imagine you need that same thing. And that is why it's written here in Hebrews, look, don't forsake, don't give up meeting together. We need each other. And if you think you could go it alone, I want you to know that I have never met one single Christian, professed Christian, that was growing in the Lord, faithful to God, doing all the things they should be doing, who excused himself from gathering with other believers. Excuse himself from being part of a church. Do not give up meeting together. Do it all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, our tendency is that when something happens in our life, and I've said this so many times, we want to crawl in the corner and hide. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Satan, if he can get you isolated from everybody else, you're not going to go upwards, you're going to go downwards. Because you're going to sit there and you're going to say, I can't believe this happened to me. This is so horrible. God must not love me. My phone's not ringing, so obviously no one in the church cares about me or they would call me. Life is just terrible. You're not going to grow. You're not going to move upward. And the more that Satan can do, and the more that happens in churches where people just stop gathering or don't gather together, the more that this testimony that we've been given to be the salt and light of the world, the more that begins to be drowned out in our society, because the less influence and power the church has as a living organism of Jesus Christ living out his life through our lives. As Paul said, I don't live anymore. Christ is living in me and through me. The less that will be seen in the world. Why should we gather together as Christians? Because God commands us. And we might as well just close here because that should be enough. But let me give you a few more reasons. Number two. We ought to gather together with believers because it is where the sheep find the shepherd. It's where the sheep find the shepherd. Turn with me to the next book in the Bible. Or actually, two books over. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. To the elders among you, and that word elder is just one of the words that's used for pastor, and there are three words in this passage that I'll refer to the pastor, and I'll show you them as we go. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in his glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock, that's the second word, shepherds, that is under your care, serving as overseers, that's the third word, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. God is calling men from this world not only to be saved, but to become pastors. God is calling men out of this world to come to him and receive salvation, but then that calling goes further and he gives a special calling to men to serve in the church, notice as elders, as shepherds, as overseers, as pastors. And I believe that's God's calling on my life. So God has given me a job, God has given me a ministry, God has given me a life, and the purpose of that job and ministry are the things that he talks about here. And if I were to lay these things out, I could give it to you in a couple quick thoughts. First of all, my job is to watch over your soul. I have a responsibility for your soul. When you come to this church and you are here, I have a responsibility for your soul. One day when I stand before God, God is going to ask me, you know, when Connie came to church, and she comes once in a while, when Connie comes to church, God's going to come before me and ask me, what did I preach? What did I do? How did I live before Connie as a member of this church? Did she hear the word when she came? Did I invest my life in her life? I am accountable for your soul. Ezekiel was told that if he did not, as a watchman, if he did not tell them and warn them, that God would hold him accountable if they didn't turn their life to God. But if he warned them and he preached the truth and they still turned away from God, then God would no longer require their blood on Ezekiel's hands. That same thought is given in Acts 20 about Paul says the same thing. He says, look, I've preached the entire word of God. I've preached the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I'm no longer accountable for your blood. If you come to church and I preach the truth and I tell you what God's word is saying and you walk out the door and say, yeah, I know that's the truth, but I just really don't want to do it, then I am no longer accountable for what you do. You are then accountable for what you do. And God will hold you accountable to that. But as someone who watches over your soul, it's my desire that we don't lose one single one. You know, Jesus gave an illustration of a shepherd, and he said, look, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one leaves the flock, the shepherd leaves to go find that one. See, he doesn't want to lose one to the wolves. Not only am I to watch over your soul, but I have a responsibility as part of that of teaching. And when a pastor teaches, he has a responsibility of correcting and rebuking and encouraging. You know, we're seeing in churches where whole hosts of churches and preachers don't want to talk about sin any longer. Don't want to warn you of sin and don't want to warn you of hell and just kind of want to make you feel good when you come to church and feel better about yourself. And if we've done that, that's good. Like the one preacher who will not put a cross in front of his church because he said the presence of a cross is just too negative for his people. Like one preacher who said, I don't anymore preach about being born again. And when he was asked why, he said, because it's too controversial of a subject, so I just don't talk about it. Well, part of the job is encouraging, but it's also rebuking and correcting. Preparing your life to help you to live a life that is pleasing to God. And then I have a job of training you for ministry. Training you for ministry. I was up at Baptist Bible College this past Friday, along with Kibby. Oh, by the way, Kibby, I have the leftover candy bars. I'll get them to you. I think Connie ate half of them, but there's still some left. We were up there and we were inviting students to come to church here and to get involved in the ministry here. And while we were doing that, there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, looked about my age, and he was walking around. And I thought he wasn't just kind of walking around like if he had a booth somewhere. He was walking around like he was looking for something. So I asked him if I could help him, and he said, yeah. He said, you know, I am a new teacher at Baptist Bible College, and I want to find a church where I can serve. And I thought, how great. Here's a teacher who could probably just sit back and teach and, you know, think, well, that's my Christian duty. But he didn't want to do that. He wants to find a place that as he moves here and gets involved here, that he gets involved in a church ministry. Part of my responsibility is to encourage you and to help you to get involved in ministry. It was exciting to see all the people who came last night to serve down at the Scranton Rescue Mission. And we had a crowd there last night at the Scranton Rescue Mission. But you know what? I think we had almost as many people from Open Door as they did there to go and eat. Of people willing to serve, and some of you who cooked and, you know, sent food, and so we can add that to the list. But it's exciting to see people involved in ministry. Church is not about just coming, hearing a sermon, and kind of growing on your own. It's coming to a church and then getting involved in people's lives and encouraging them and helping them become like Christ. I have a responsibility to save your soul. No, I can't do that. But I can preach the truth so that God begins to work in your heart and your heart's changed. Kibby had a bunch of people in our 9 o'clock hour give their testimony. By the way, this coming Sunday, we started a whole new series in our 9 o'clock hour, and the sheets are on the back counter. We'd love to have you come, but this morning he had people giving their testimonies. And how exciting it was for me to hear people just pouring out their heart and telling what God did in their life. And how God changed their life and how God transformed their life and how God had saved them. So I have a responsibility to preach the gospel and tell you that through Jesus Christ you can have eternal life. And through Jesus Christ all of your sin can be washed away. When you place your faith and trust in what he did on the cross for your sin. It's not just saving you to go to heaven, but it's saving you from false teaching. It's saving you from all the things that would pull you away from Christ. So I would ask this morning, If in your mind you think that you could be a good Christian, you can be a growing Christian, but you can do that apart from the church, then I would ask you, then why does God call some people to be pastors? If you can live your life without the church, why would God do that? Number three, we ought to be involved in church because Christ loves the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And you can go on and read through that, and it talks about the husband's relationship with his wife. Or does it really? Skip down to verse 32. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. In other words, when he talks about the husband's love for his wife, what he's really saying is, look, what this really shows is the fact that Christ loves the church, and guys, the way you ought to love your wife is the way that Christ loved the church. And how do we know Christ's love for the church? What did he do? He gave himself for her. I heard a great statement at the pastor's conference. I was just that. Simply this, how can you say that you love Christ if you don't love his bride? How can you say you love Christ when you don't love his church, which is the bride of Christ, which he loves? If you love Christ, you must love his bride. If you love Christ, you must love what he loves. And he loves the church. I heard someone this morning, and I don't want to embarrass her, so I won't mention her name, Linda. But she talked about how she used to go to church years ago and just hated going to church. But now she loves to go to church. I wonder, do you love what Christ loves? And I hear so many people say, you know, I love God and I am spiritual. Do you love what he loves? He loves the church. It is his bride. It is central to all that he's doing in this age. You know, this age is the church age. In Matthew 16, 18, he said, I will build my church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that all of us are supporting ligaments coming together to support the church and be involved in what Christ is doing, the building of his church. So I would ask you this morning, do you love what Christ loves? Do you love his church? And so many people are saying, you know, I don't need to be bothered with going to church. I can love Christ out in the woods, and I can love Christ, you know, at home, and I can love Christ. One excuse I hear all the time, you know, when they see me, they immediately think, oh, I haven't been in church. So they immediately say, without me saying a word, you know what, I am reading my Bible every day, and I'm praying every day. So besides not going to church, they've had it lying. But you know, we say that we love God and we're doing all these things, but then we're telling God we don't even love what he loves. You know, I used to go up in the woods and go up 20 feet in a tree, 25 feet in a tree, and I would be waiting on a deer to come by, and you know, while I was there, I'd be praying, I'd be looking at God's creation. I once watched an inchworm for over 2 hours as he climbed around in a tree, and you know, I was out there worshiping God. I want you to know, I was worshiping God, thinking about God's creation, the beauty of all that God has done. And I can do that out in the woods, but along with that, God says we need to gather together as believers. So he created something 2,000 years ago, and he poured his Holy Spirit into it. And he called people from out of this world to gather together because, you know, that's what the word church means. It means a group of people called out of this world to gather together. And the Bible tells us that he loves the church. Do you love the church? Number four, because of the benefits of being part of the church. Because of the benefits of being part of the church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to know there are benefits of being part of a church. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized into, or by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Skip down with me down to verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The body is a unit. The church is a body. And we all to come together to be part of a body. And sometimes the church is trying to function without an arm. And sometimes the church is trying to function without a leg. And if you have ever seen someone try to function without an arm, without a leg, or with a sore hand or a sore neck, you know that it cannot function properly. And some people think, you know what, it doesn't matter if I don't go to church. What's the difference? I want you to know when you're not in church, the body can't function fully. And there's probably something that God wanted you to hear or wanted you to do in somebody else's life that did not get done because you decided that you had a good enough excuse not to be obedient to God. There are benefits for being part of a church. You know how interesting it is that so often our church family is closer to us than our physical families. And that when we're hurting and have needs and it seems like our world is falling apart, we know that there's a place we can go and find help. We know there's a place we can go and find people who really care about us. And sometimes that's even seen outside the church. We were down at the Scranton Rescue Mission last night and people were coming to eat. And for a while there, I thought we were going to run out of food. But we made it right down to the last spoon of food. And we fed everybody. But as every person came by and got food, at least everyone that I was around, they said, thank you. And two or three people came by after that and saw me and said, thanks for coming. The church reaches out, but it's also there for every person that's part of that church. Church provides a foundation for living. You know, these days when we look at all that's going on in the world, we need a foundation. And we find that in a church because it teaches the Word of God. Church provides a family for living, and that's the fellowship that we're involved in. Church provides a force for living, and that's a relationship with God. Church provides a function for living, and that's a place to serve. Church provides a focus for living, and that's evangelism. There's so much in our life and so much that benefits us from being part of a church that is not there if you do not come. Number five, because of the example of the early church. Why should we come to church? Because of the example of the early church. Turn with me in your Bible, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Notice, they devoted themselves to these things. How much were they devoted to them? Skip down to verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Every single day they met. You might say, well, Pastor, are you saying we ought to meet every day for church? Not saying that. But the example of the early church was that they met every single time they possibly could. And sometimes, you know, in our society, we have work and we can't make the certain services, but that's why we have so many services. You might work, you know, Sunday morning, we have Sunday night. You work Sunday, we have Wednesday night. You work Sunday, maybe you want to find another job that would free you up to come more. But we have many things you can get involved in, even things on Monday nights and other nights, so that there are things, no matter what you do, that you can find a way to be with God's people. Church is important. It is part of what God is trying to do, and they just met all the time. When you read later in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says that the habit of the church was to meet on the first day of every week. That's Sunday. They met for worship. They met for serving. They met so that they might bring glory and honor to God and worship Him. One final thing. I want you to notice that everything I've said so far is our relationship with God, our relationship with the others, and there's one group I just haven't mentioned yet. And that's our children. We ought to go to church because of our children. And I'm just going to read the verse. You can write it down. It's Ephesians 6:4. It says that we are commanded to bring our children up in the instruction of the Lord. You know what unfortunately happens in these days? Don't zip your Bibles. We're living in days where parents allow their children to choose their church. Let's go find a church where our kids love nursery. Let's go find a church where our kids love the children's program. Let's go find a church where our child didn't run out the door and met another child they liked. I want you to know that is the wrong reason for picking a church. Because there are many churches that have all kind of kid things for their kids, but really, if you look at the church, it's hollow and empty of God's word. And church is not just about entertaining children. It's about teaching them and helping them to grow. And that begins with teaching and helping the parents to grow. Mom and dads, if you can go to the church, your kids are all excited about the children's program, but you're not growing and you're not being taught the word of God and your life is not being transformed, then all the things your kids are getting are going to be lost if your family as a whole isn't becoming what God wants it to be. We pick a church because it's a place where we know God's word is being preached and God's word is being taught and God's word is affecting and changing lives. And as part of that, there's something there for our children, something there where our kids can grow and become more like God. Church is important. And I could probably list a whole bunch of other verses that I could add to this, but I just want to say it this way. If you think you can grow, if you can think you can do all that God wants you to do and do it on your own, apart from what God loves, apart from what God has commanded you to be part of, then you are sadly mistaken and you'll never become what God wants you to be. And you'll probably end up being like the guy who said that he only went to church twice in his life. The first time they sprinkled him with water, the second time they threw rice on him. Where at that moment another man yelled out, and the third time they'll sprinkle dirt on you. Go to church more often than that. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us to understand and to learn in our lives the importance of the local body of believers gathered together to worship and serve and to evangelize. May we realize the importance of encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. May we see the need to reach out and invest our lives into other people. May we understand that church is not about what it gives me, but about what I can give in and pour into the lives of other people so that you may be glorified. Work in our lives, Father. Help us, Lord, to see this world. Help us to see your church from your eyes. And may we do all that you've called us to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.